The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, look at Kawhi.
Our guy Redman said it. Ah, look out. It's the Funkadelic Funk for Chump that don't be knowing my name. I told you it's serious when Kawhi started dunking. And he ain't playing around, Derek Favors. Let's start the show.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, who is joining us on this program in mere minutes?
Grizzled, seasoned veteran, 3-and-D guy, star of the Phoenix Suns, Jay Crowder is joining the program. Make sure you stick around and check that out.
But we start the show with a game that you were at in person in Atlanta with the Hawks trying to even the series against the 76ers. 76ers started the game hot. In the second half, it was Atlanta behind Young and Bogdanovich that got the win. Jalen, what did you see from inside the building?
Peace up. A-Town down. Not only was I at the game, I was at the game with my kids. Darius was in the house. Mariah was in the house. And it was Gracie's birthday. And I was enjoying adult beverages, and I was watching Trae Young and Bogdanovich put on the show. And the difference in the two games that they've lost in this series versus the two games that they've won is the two games that they've won, both of those guys have been putting in work. And their backcourt did that in this game. And also, the pick and rolls that they were running against Joel Embiid, I started to see fatigue in the big fella. They do a single screen, they do a stagger screen, and before you know it, the big fella was out there stuck guarding Trae Young a couple of times. And on the other end, they were asking him what you do for a guy that finished second in the MVP race, that averaged 30 this year, and is the most physically dominating force we have in the game. You also want him on the other end to give you post-ups, to get to the line, to give you blocks, to give you rebounds. And I noticed that a guy playing with a torn meniscus, Jacoby, doesn't necessarily get optimal conditioning. And in the second half, it showed. He didn't make a field goal. And also, when they were going to the timeouts, he was laying on the floor like Larry Bird in the late 80s with a bad back. The big fella was fatigued. He has to do a lot for his squad. So as long as his health and his ability to reinvent his conditioning during this series, because that's what you have to do. Like certain times, like as a guard, before the game, you dribble real hard, take it through your legs, you go full speed dribble, like you have to do all of that stuff. And as a big, he has to also. And I noticed when they were out there warming up before the game, he was the final person to come out there because he's trying to save everything he can for the game. So I believe Joel's conditioning holds up along with his health. Therefore, I believe they advance, but now they just made this a really tough series, Jacoby, because the Hawks are confident.
The Hawks asked some questions of the 76ers in the second half, specifically Trae Young, who we've all seen him shoot from deep and we've seen him get that floater off, but it was really tonight was his assist, his playmaking, which is excellent passes like that one to Capella and a couple to Collins. There's one to Collins in the corner that was just fantastic where he went up and went under two defenders, hit Collins in the corner with a little wraparound. Trae Young was true, that one right there. Trae Young was truly playmaking last night, and it was great to see. And I'm not so sure that this is the 76ers series. I'm not going to call it for the Hawks either, but this does look wide open when you see Joel Embiid go over 12 in the second half, look like he needs treatment, look like he's getting picked on in the pick and roll. They can make this very difficult for the 76ers if they attack Embiid.
And being in the building, certain plays happen that rejuvenated the Hawks team and the crowd. And you just showed a couple of them. Those John Collins dunks were game changers because the Hawks were trailing for most of the game. And then they finally got themselves back in the game. And Collins dunks and Trae Young's passing were very crucial. 18 assists. He's the only guy before 23 other than Isaiah and Chris Paul to have that many points and that many assists in a playoff game before turning 23 years of age. And he could have had a few more assists because he was out there playing around. You see the one on the fast break, he tried to throw it off the backboard. Like, yep, he didn't realize that Joel wasn't going to run down there and contest that. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't going to contest that. But that just lets you know how locked in Trae Young was as a playmaker. And I also have to say one last thing for the casuals. Trae Young and Steph Curry both are four-level scorers, okay? Shout to Yoda Rashard Phillips, my nephew, who I got that from. With that being said, him, Dame, and Steph, those guys are in a different category. He's also required to playmake. Like, that's what makes him and Steph different. The 18 assists, Jacoby, he's their primary ball handler. He's their primary initiator of offense. For the Golden State Warriors, that player is Draymond Green. So I just wanted to show people how different both of those guys are getting their numbers. Steph is the best in the league moving off the ball, cutting off the ball, pass and relocate. He's the best at doing that. How he gets his 30 is way different in most cases other than shooting the long ball than how Trae Young gets his numbers.
Jalen, that was the first game. In the second game, not as competitive, not as interesting, because it was another Clipper game where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George showed up. Of course, I'm talking about game four against the Jazz. The Clippers again fell down 0-2 in the series, and now they find themselves again tied up. What was it about this Clippers performance that got them to even the series?
The Jazz are going to need to get Mike Conley back. But the main thing is when you're two-star players in back-to-back playoff games, each score 30. That hasn't happened many times in the history of the NBA playoff. And playing on their home floor, it always is great for me to watch when Kawhi decides that he's about to take over. And everybody that's watching this year's playoffs, you know my favorite thing about it, Jacoby? It looks different. Like, so many times I'm watching NBA basketball and I'm seeing five guys standing around the three-point line and everybody just jacking up the three as soon as they get it and not working the game. I'm seeing Chris Paul work the game. I'm seeing Kawhi Leonard work the game. I'm seeing PJ Tucker and Jay Crowder be tough and physical defenders that are also knocking down threes. That looks different. It looks different and it's refreshing. And the other thing for the Clippers, Morris three-point shooting. He's always going to have one of those games in a series where he makes like five threes in a game. Unfortunately for the Jazz, that was in this game. And Rudy Gobert, as you see, and/or Favors is the defender on those. That's why you want to get him out there to spread the floor and take advantage of those guys. And he did a terrific job of being productive.
Donovan Mitchell played well in this one. The Jazz threatened a little bit in the fourth corner, but never really got it down to its sort of striking distance at the end. Jalen, Donovan Mitchell doesn't seem to be 100%. Do you think they can get him back healthy for a pivotal game five?
I believe if he needed to go back in the game, they could have put him back in the game. So I think health-wise, he'll be just fine. The thing I'm worried about is his usage. See, you look at the stat sheet and Utah made 17 threes. But how they're getting them in this series isn't necessarily how they got them during the regular season. And it's because they need Spider Mitchell to be outstanding because either they're behind and or they don't have Conley and or the matchups just are more favorable to your best player on the perimeter because he's a guy that you could get a ball to and go get a shot for him, go get a shot for everybody else. And they're going to need my guy Jordan Clarkson also to have a big game. I anticipate the next game that these two teams play, Jordan is going to have a big game because his team is going to need it. That's why he's the sixth man of the year.
Absolutely. Jalen, very quickly, I want to talk to you about a story The Athletic reported yesterday about Luka Doncic and sort of the turmoil going on in the locker room in the front office with the Dallas Mavericks. Very quickly, do you think that the Mavs should be worried about Luka staying long-term in Dallas?
No, because unlike Aaron Rodgers, he went to the podium after they lost the playoff series and was asked a question after his, 46-14, do you want to stay in Dallas? And he says, I'm going to resign. So there's no reason for Dallas to worry. Now, however, the employee that allegedly doesn't get along with Luka, we'll know the answer to this really quick. Because if he stays with the team and Luka resigns, then it goes against the article. If Luka resigns and he gets fired, it supports the article. The answer is going to be in front of us. And I'm sure Mark Cuban already heard what he needed to hear. And that's that Luka plans on returning.
Jalen, who is joining us right after this very short break?
Jay Crowder. This is a guy that played more defense in the previous game than I played in 20 years of organized basketball. Is joining the show next.
You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned.
This is our freaking moment. Let's go win it. Let's go.
I'm trying to win. Don't care how I do it. Just know that I did it.
Sons of Sweat, the Denver Nuggets. The Suns are going to the conference finals.
I did it. I did it. I did it.
A couple years ago, they was writing me off. We got a great team over there, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it. We're going to keep playing hard. Now we're going to get some rest.
Coming to you live from the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan, brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen joining us right now is one of the key people that brought
the keys,
Phoenix. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Now, you swept the Nuggets. You're in the Western Conference Finals. From someone who's in the locker room every day, it seems like there's some special chemistry with this Suns team. What does it feel like?
I mean, it feels great. Obviously, a lot of guys are locked in right now. We got from top to bottom, coaching staff, players, all locked in on one goal. Everything's clicking right now. Even when it gets tough, we're still fighting it together, doing everything together. And it's paying off for us right now, as you can see.
Being a veteran and a free agent during an offseason is like picking a stock. And the Suns were 8-0. Monty Williams is a terrific coach. What was the final thing that made you want to join this Phoenix season?
I mean, Devin Booker, I felt like as a player in this league, that's a talent who hasn't been able to play meaningful basketball games. And I wanted to help him get to that point. I wanted to be a piece to the puzzle to help get him to play meaningful basketball, and that's playoff basketball. And I felt like the group had what it took, a couple of missing pieces, and I felt like when Chris Paul signed, it was an easy decision for me in the sense of if I was going to leave Miami, where I was going to go, because the pieces that was already in place. I felt like Chris Paul he's proven in this league to be arguably the one of the best point guards to ever play the game. So it was not an easy decision to leave Miami, but at the same time, when I made the decision to come to Phoenix, I felt like it was the best decision for myself and for this organization to help get to where we need to be.
It certainly feels like there's a really good vibe in Phoenix with the crowd and with your team. And obviously sweeping the Nuggets helps. You guys did a good job. No one can stop the MVP of the league, the Joker, but you guys did a good job limiting him. What was the strategy going up against the MVP?
DeAndre Ayton, just giving him a lot of different looks, making the toughest possible on him. Making him feel you all game for 48 minutes, put your hands on him a little bit. And I just think he's a great player. Obviously, we know he can pass and score. We just wanted to make it as difficult as possible and help DeAndre as much as possible on cross screens and ISO post-ups and stuff like that. But I think DeAndre Ayton did a great job of just making it tough on him each and every night and basically making him work on both ends of the court.
Jay, so many times in this era of analytics, players get judged by stats. And Chris Paul's greatness will never be judged by him always having gaudy numbers. So for those of us that don't get a chance to play with Chris Paul, can you acknowledge what the Chris Paul impact actually is on a basketball team?
I mean, he's the brains to the machine, if that makes any sense. He's the one who's orchestrating everything. He's putting everything in line, especially if you see his work, his worth in the fourth quarter. Look at all the fourth quarters we play and look at how he dictates the game. Look at how he controls the game. Look how he gets guys shots and not, if not getting himself a shot. He just controls the game at a high level. Like his the mental part that he brings to the game has put him at, like, the best player I ever played with mentally. You know, just him orchestrating the whole game on both ends of the court, talking, being a leader, and just controlling the game. I think, like I said, the fourth quarter of this whole series, he's dominated it. And then we put the ball in his hands to not only just get his shot off, but make other guys, myself and other guys, be more aggressive and get their shots off as well. So he does a great job of just leading our team, especially in those fourth quarters. We depend on him. We put the ball in his hands to make plays, not only for himself, but for other people. And he does it on a nightly basis.
So in the previous series, when you guys played the Lakers, a lot of times you had the matchup of guarding LeBron James. What is it like when you know going into the game that you're going to have to guard LeBron?
I'm up for the challenge. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I want to guard the best player because I want to give my team a chance to win. I feel like I do a good job of just making it tough. I don't stop anybody. It's tough to stop guys in this league with the way we score and the way the league is scoring. But you want to make it as tough as possible on guys and be an a-hole sometimes. And I'm able to do that here and there. But obviously, LeBron is a great player. He's the greatest player in our league right now. And I just wanted to make it as tough as possible for him and get him frustrated a little bit. And hopefully things go our way. And I think that's what happened.
I like to see glue guys get celebrated. Like when I'm watching the Bucks play against the Nets, I'm appreciating that people are acknowledging what P.J. Tucker brings to the game. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that now people see you knocking down threes, guarding the Joker, guarding LeBron. Mm-hmm. People get a chance to appreciate your game on this big stage. Mm-hmm. But you know what people don't get a chance to see tough guys like you do?
What's that?
That's have fun. And I appreciated you breaking down that salsa. Where did you get the moves from, baby? You was living your best life out there, family.
Hey, Jalen, game three, they tried to clown us game three. I don't know if y'all saw that, but they was trying to clown us a little bit game three. And I told myself, once we get this thing done, I got a few moves in my bag for them. That's what I was thinking, though. Well, I couldn't dance game three, though. I had to wait to game six till we get the job done a little bit.
Now, obviously, you guys get a little bit of a break before you play in the Western Conference Finals because right now the Clippers and the Jazz are knotted up at 2-2. What is the experience like watching those games knowing that you're going to face one of those teams in the Western Conference Finals?
I'm watching film. You guys may look at it as like watching a game, but I'm really, really dissecting both teams. I'm watching how Clippers are going small and trying to shake up the series a little bit with that. I'm watching how both teams are just attacking one another. I'm just watching film. I'm watching it as those guys are going to be my opponents. I'm just dissecting their game, their game plans, and trying to apply it and put myself in those situations. But I'm definitely tuning in on a nightly basis. I'm watching these guys and looking forward to the challenge of next round.
As a veteran and one of the leaders of this team, can you just acknowledge the growth of some of the young players on you guys' squad? I'm a huge fan of Ayton. And anytime you get drafted and you go in front of Luka or you go in front of Trey, it's hard for people to say that was a good decision. But that was a good decision. What about Mikal Bridges and those long arms that's basically dragging down to the floor, locking down on D, and Johnson coming in off the bench, and even Campaign reinventing himself and playing quality minutes. So just talk about your young core group of fellas that's really stepped up their game in their first playoff.
Jalen, all the guys you just mentioned, it's the first time in the postseason, and you wouldn't even notice it by watching them watching them play. I just feel like they're all fearless. They all wanted this moment. They all prepared for this moment, and they prepare for each and every game the same way. They're going into it knowing their job, knowing what we want ask of them as a team, and they're trying to apply it on a nightly basis, and that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a bunch of young guys who are just fearless and not scared of the moment and stepping right into it, and I just feel like I saw that from a distance, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to come over here because a lot of young guys just fearless, playing hard, playing the game the right way, and I just wanted to be a part of that. But I'm glad to be a big brother to them. They ask questions on a daily basis. I'm here for them. Chris is here for them. Coach Monty has been there for them, and it's just been great. Dope. It's been a great chemistry. It's been great to just see these guys really try to learn and try to put their imprint on the game of basketball, especially at this level.
Jay, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Appreciate the love, family. We'll be rooting for you
the rest of your run in the playoffs.
Thank you guys, man, for having me.
All love, family. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll be back with much more right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. That man, Kevin Durant, has to put the team on his back tonight in Game 5 in Brooklyn. We'll tell you how he's going to do it right after this. Game 6, Thursday night, 8:30 on ESPN. It is Game 6 between the Nets and the Bucks. Will we see a Game 7? Find out Thursday night at 8:30. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Bucks even the series at 2-2. And we have a pivotal Game 5 tonight in Brooklyn. What do you expect?
James Harden is doubtful. He only played 1 minute in this series. He missed hot number of 20 games or so with a hamstring injury already. If I'm the Nets, I don't allow James Harden to play. So I expect a lot of KD being featured, being doubled, being tripled, giving a chance for other guys like Joe Harris to make plays, Brown to shoot his floater. Let's see if Jeff Green can get himself going. Blake Griffin can play better at home. It's going to have to be a collective effort, clearly, without his running mates in Kyrie and or James Harden if he doesn't decide to play. I think if they don't play, KD still gets his numbers, but the Bucks win. Stay tuned.
I got the Nets winning Game 5. We'll be back tomorrow on ESPN2 at 2 p.m. to discuss it. You got to give the people.